Check. It's good. Okay. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to morning prayer. Let us start with a word of prayer. Jesus, give thanks for this morning. Your mercies are new every day, Lord. And so today we just want to focus on today, what your word says, just to seek you wholeheartedly, Lord. Would you come, Holy Spirit, and lead us during this time. Help us to understand. Help us to be convicted that your word would come and just pierce our hearts, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, today we're going to read from Proverbs chapter 21. And we are going to read from verses 6 to 10. Okay? So Proverbs 21, starting at verse 6. The acquisition of treasure by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor, the pursuit of death. The violence of the wicked will drag them away because they refuse to act with justice. The way of a guilty man is crooked, but as for the pure, his conduct is upright. It is better to live in a corner of a roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman. The soul of the wicked desires evil. His neighbor finds no favor in his eyes. Amen. Okay. At verse 6, it says, the acquisition of treasure by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor, the pursuit of death. So, if you're someone who goes about like this, lying, not just lying, it would be someone who lies, someone who cheats, you do something that is not upright or honest. Why do they do that? Why would someone do that? Tell lies, cheat, dishonesty. Why would you do that? It's because there's an advantage to it, right? For someone, if it has to do with your studies, right? Why would you cheat? It's because if you do cheat, you spend a lot less time studying, right? So what happens is you save on time. Why would you cheat if it comes to making money? Because probably, same thing, you spend less time and you get to make a lot of money. And so there is a draw to lying and cheating and being dishonest. And if you succeed, if you get away with it, then the desire, or what you learn is, oh, it worked out. And so the desire is you keep doing it over and over and over again. Probably the risk you take will start to increase and escalate. And you'll keep doing it until when? Until you make enough money? Probably until you get caught. That's when you stop. And so getting caught, it's inevitable. It's just a matter of when. And I guess this is a grayish area, but you look at someone who is a gambler or who enjoys the gambling, right? What's the feeling? And I've experienced this once at a carnival, not even at a casino. It was like when I was in early 20s, I went to some carnival, and it's something like where you throw a ball and it lands on some spinning kind of giant roulette, and if it lands on that number, and you just have to guess odd or even. And I think I was a few dollars down, because each roll was a dollar, and I might have been like at that point minus $10 Canadian, not even that much money, but I guess felt like a lot during that time. And I remember I was with my friend, and I said to him, I just need one more. Just one more, and I can just break even, and then I'm done. Just one more. And he literally, like, dragged me away and was like, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Like, he was also, like, kind of sick of just waiting there for me just so I could break even. And for me, it was, like, so exciting. And afterwards, I think, like, 5 minutes later, I was like, oh, man. I think I said to my friend, I was kind of getting kind of crazy. And he was like, yeah, you're kind of getting crazy. And so I was down, and I just wanted to break even. So I've never experienced where you, like, when it comes to gambling, where you make a lot of money. But from what I know of people, once you break even, do you stop? No. Even then, you're like, oh, maybe my luck is good now, and I just need a little bit more. And then you're in a winning streak. Say you get to, I don't know, $100,000. Is that when you stop? I think it takes a lot of self-discipline to stop. And so the idea here is, it's in some ways, it says, first of all, it describes the acquisition of treasures by lying. It is a fleeting vapor. Because what you're going after, these treasures, are these like eternal treasures? No. The whole idea of it is you're going after earthly treasures which don't last. You're going after treasures that don't last, number one. And number two, it's going to lead to death, the pursuit of death. Because eventually, you're going to get caught. And so then, it's like, what's the point? What was the point in the first place to take such a risk for something that doesn't last and there's such grave consequences? And I guess Proverbs is here to remind you, don't do that. It's not worth it. It's not wise to be dishonest, to do something tricky. And then in verse 7 it says, the violence of the wicked will drag them away because they refuse to act with justice. And so there is a correlation where someone who has a wicked heart, that they love violence, to do harm to others. Why? Because they have a wicked heart. And it says it will drag them away. It will be their downfall. Number one, this is not what the Lord is pleased with. And I mean, I guess for many of us, maybe physical violence is not so common. But there's other ways you can be violent, aggressive. Your speech especially, right? And it says it will drag them away. This is not pleasing to the Lord. And it creates a separation from the Lord. In fact, if this is someone who's wicked and does this, God will leave them to their own devices as well. And it says part of the displeasure that God has in this is also they refuse to act with justice. So it isn't just about, for wicked people, it isn't just about what they will do. The sin is also what they won't do, which is to do justice. God judges what you do and also what you don't do. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to you, right? Sometimes we get so focused in our faith with only what we do in terms of not doing wicked things. We get so focused with, oh, I just need to not sin. Our faith is not about not sinning. That's only part of our faith, right? To not walk in sin. But the other part of faith is what you do, how you live out your faith, how you are pursuing God's will, pursuing intimacy with the Lord. relationship, walking in obedience, stepping out in faith. That's the other part of the coin. And so it's not enough. And so, you know, you can take a little moment just to assess, are you just not sinning? God wants us to also act with justice. Verse 8, the way of a guilty man is crooked, but as for the pure, his conduct is upright. And so there is a way that we live. And it says, the way of a guilty man, a wicked man, the way they go about life is crooked. And we already use this word crooked as a noun to describe a crook already. But if you look at the meaning of the word, a crooked, you think of a path. A crooked path, right? And a crooked path, especially when it comes to life, it's really complicated, right? Because what a crooked person is, they're always looking for an advantage. That's their goal, advantage. And so depending on circumstances, the way you would go about things change. And I'm not saying we are simple-minded, right? But if your objective is just to get advantage for treasures, then things get complicated. And it opens up, because basically you'll pursue that objective in any way possible. And so there's so many paths, so many ways that you could go about it. And if circumstances change, also your path changes. So it's constantly changing, all for this earthly treasure that is like vapor, which is temporary. And if that's you, well, first, it's not great, but it's stressful, right? It's like I have to, all these different objectives, different ways to go about things, instead of what God wants for us. He wants us to be pure and for our conduct to be upright, the straight path. And so what are you led by? Instead of circumstances, trying to get ahead, that's your objective. You're led by your conviction. And if you're led by your conviction, circumstances change, but the way you process things is based on your conviction as a child of God, what is pleasing to the Lord. And so it's the straight and narrow path, but it's also simple. It's like, okay, I just gotta, what is God's will? What does God want? What does the Word of God say? And so, yeah, maybe this will be a little bit more expensive, right? If I do this the honest way, maybe the work it takes and time I need to spend is a little bit more, but this is God's will. And then you process it further. And also, why am I worried about my finances? God's going to provide, right? Why am I worried about saving time so much, right? God will take care of that as well. And naturally, how I need to spend my time somehow. And I think doing it the honest, upright way, maybe there's something in it that God wants for me. And so our conviction doesn't change with circumstance. It is better to live in a corner of a roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman. And so when it's talking about the corner of a roof, it's a small, confined space. All to say, it's not a pleasant space. It's still livable. And it's a corner in the roof, so it's like the very top. So, you know, if you're in the right by the roof and in the corner, it's probably you're still protected, but you're very close. So maybe there's a draft. It's kind of cold. So it's not the best place. And it's using this to contrast, even though you're not living in the best place, It says it's better. It is better. Where am I? It's better than sharing a house with a contentious woman. And so we can open it up a bit more and just say a contentious spouse. That's kind of more the context. We're talking about the wife, but it can go both ways, spouse. And having a contention, I mean, any sort of contention, whether friends, work, church, you know when that happens, it's stressful. It just ruins life. There's no peace, right? Really, when you experience the most anxiety and stress, it's people, especially if there's contention. Now, if that's your spouse, that really sucks, right? Because, I mean, the idea is, you know, your home, your spouse is supposed to be someone who supports you, where you would feel safe at home, where you can just let go and be your real self and just unwind, and that person is someone who accepts you, so you don't have to even impress them. It's just a place where you can just be. But someone who's contentious is someone who's not happy with you. They're nitpicking at you. Everything you say, it's always a fight. And if that's the case, it's better to just live by yourself in the corner of a room, in the corner of the roof, on your own. And that's wisdom, because, and this is why we have to be very wise and have some standards when you choose a spouse. Because whoever your spouse is, it's for the rest of your life. Mm. And so even for me, I mean, this is great. Proverbs helps articulate it. But I remember I only had one checklist when I was dating and getting married, right? Of course, like, love God, a woman who loves God, that's a given, right? I don't even think that's really like on my list. That's just a staple. But the one thing I was looking for, I just want whoever I was, not articulated as well in Proverbs, but I just said, I just want someone who's low maintenance and chill. That's it. It's like someone I can just live life with, and we can just enjoy life, be there together. I don't want like every little thing becomes a big thing, right? And that's not to say you don't have confrontation, right? You confront, but when you confront, like, if it's a small thing, keep it a small thing. I think there's a Chinese proverb, right? And it goes something like this. I'm saying it in English, so it might be completely off. It says, if you have a small thing, let it become nothing. If there's a big thing, let it become a small thing, right? The problem is sometimes, often is where it's really unpleasant, is it becomes a big thing all the time. And so wisdom, don't find a contentious spouse. No drama. Someone who's chill. And if both people are chill, level-headed, led by the Lord and not their emotions, then you can have a wonderful time together. Right, dealing with each other, dealing with the difficulties of life together, right, and give each other that stability. Finally, at verse 10, it says, the soul of the wicked desires evil. His neighbor finds no favor in his eyes. So this reveals the person, a wicked person. They actually enjoy evil. Their souls, they enjoy it. This is what is in them. And this kind of started with the fall of man. And we know that we're all inherited the fallen, the sin. And that sin affected really is our souls, And so it's inherently there. And if you're not aware, you know, you enjoy it. Sin is desirable. Sin is enjoyable. And it's very self-centered, because the whole idea of sin is I want to satisfy myself. And even oftentimes the justification for sin is, well, it's not hurting anybody else. It's almost like, oh, it doesn't matter for other people. As long as it's beneficial for me, then it's okay, right? And it's so self-centered that it says his neighbor finds no favor in his eyes. And so you're so self-centered, you don't even look to others, your neighbor, your brothers, your sisters. And why would you continue to be wicked and evil? Because you don't care, right? You don't care. Maybe it's vengeance. Maybe it's to take advantage of your brothers and sisters so that you can get ahead, pay less, get more. But end of the day is because you're so self-centered, you don't even care about them. You're not even thinking of them. No favor in your own eyes. And so I invite Nikki. Oh, we can do circle worship? Okay. So we can come to the front together to pray and worship. And let's go before the Lord. I mean, I believe everyone here is, the fact that you're in here, your pursuit is not wickedness. but, you know, as the verse says, God also desires for us to act with justice. Justice is not just for yourself, but for others. And so let's go before the Lord. Are we just so concerned about ourselves and not sinning, or are we concerned about our brothers and sisters? You know, love one another as Christ has loved you. All men will know you are my disciples if you love one another. So to really glorify the Lord is not just taking care of yourself. It's actually how you love others. And so let's go before the Lord. If we've been maybe a little too self-focused, to focus on God's will for me, and what I need, let's, and that's not a bad thing, but too much of it is not good, right? And let's repent, and let's be less self-centered, let's be more God-centered, let's have compassion and empathy and thoughtfulness towards our brothers and sisters.